So what we'll do is we'll just say a short prayer. You know, praying is just kind of asking God as we see each other face to face. You know, this is us kind of starting that dialogue with God, just kind of asking for help and all we need. Catholics, we begin prayer by in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's because it's a summary of our faith. Anytime you see Catholics do this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we are saying that God is three persons, yet one, and we believe that it's through that cross that we were saved. So it's just a summary of all of our belief is just in one gesture with words. So that's why we do the sign of the cross. So we're going to start that tonight. If you feel comfortable doing the sign of the cross, do it. If you don't know yet, totally okay if not, all right? So there's no, this is, again, safe space. So we'll begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, we ask you to be here tonight. We are asking questions about you. We wonder about you. We want to be more involved, learning and understanding how you move in our life. And we ask you that you kind of help us as we ask these big questions of our life. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I had someone ask me once, like, how far do you go? Usually you touch somewhere on the head and then somewhere lower, like you just kind of think of proportions and then shoulder, totally fine. So that we're Roman Catholic. So usually we do the sign of the cross with a open hand. Our Eastern brothers and sisters, they sign the a little different and they actually do it in the other opposite way. We'll get to all of these interesting things later. All right. So I want to, if you have this sheet, we're just going to go through what tonight looks like. Tonight's kind of an introductory slash very, very dipping our toe lightly into what we'll be talking about. Wanted to first kind of introduce our team. Our team is larger than this. This was just the people that I kind of thought of offhand. So our parish office, as you see that number repeated four times, you call this number and there's extensions. One's for Father Hall, one's for Tamara, one's for Father Wallmeyer, one's for Mark Heffley, Ryan Blivin. You can't call them. There's no number. But we are kind of the team where if you have any random questions or parts of like, what do I need for RCIA, some of the nitty gritties, contact any of us at any time. There's our email as well. So we're the team. I already introduced myself. So I'm Father Hall. I'm from Morse Bluff, Nebraska. It's by North Bend. And then I have to get bigger, Fremont. And that's when I see nods. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Morse Bluff, small town. I grew up on a homestead. I'm the sixth of seven kids. Again, grew up Catholic. Did everything in high school, football, basketball, track, speech, one acts, band, chorus, did the whole shebang. Went to college. I became a structural engineer. So I used to design bridges around the Midwest. So I have a lot of bridges, mostly in Illinois, one in Lincoln, but I don't know where, which I'm sure it's fine. I just don't know where it is. The design is solid. It's the 40th Street Bridge. It's somewhere on 40th. Anyway, so I designed bridges for a living. And then, like, after 3 years of bridge design, that's when the questions of priesthood actually started to come up. I'll tell my vocation story a little bit more as we go on. It involves a lot of random stuff. So then after 3 years, I discerned, like, okay, I'll try seminary for 2 years. Because I had a degree, to become a priest is a six-year process. If you don't have a degree, it's an eight-year process. So I said, okay, of that 6 years, Jesus, I'll give you two, and we'll see how it goes. So after the two, I was like, yep, felt like puzzle pieces were fitting together for me. So then studied the 6 years, was ordained. I started at St. Joe's. And here in Lincoln, then moved to St. Michael's in Hastings. I was pastor, then moved to Roseland, Nebraska, which is 200 people that are there. And then now I'm the pastor here. So are the people that are here are Mark Heffley, if you want to raise your hand here. So Mark is our director of evangelization. We'll get to know him more over the year. And same with Ryan. Ryan, do you want to raise your hand? He also will get to know him a little bit more over the course of everything. Okay. All right. Let's just delve into let's get going because there's a lot of stuff to cover. And I really chatted a lot longer than I wanted to. I was excited. Okay, so first thing is the syllabus. If you want to take out the Excel sheet, which I can't, you know, Mark, I appreciate because I can't get rid of my engineering side. I love like Excel sheets and whatnot. So if you want to take that out, these are the topics that we are going to cover every time we meet. It also has the dates that we're not going to meet, times that we have off. Oh, yes, nice. Nice. So tonight, you'll see that the progression is going to actually be a little bit of not only are we introducing like God in general, but then the topics are going to be connected and built upon the previous one. Tonight, we're just talking about what was the good news? What was the gospel? What was the thing that Jesus kind of talked about? So just a very brief introduction before we get into like revelation just means that God revealed something to us. So what did he reveal and how did he do it? Old Testament and God promises. This is a good one, the Old Testament, because there's a lot of things in there that people quote that it seems like God is a vengeful God and he's mean and he's angry and he's a murderer. So we are going to address like all of these things that happened in the Old Testament, moving on to Jesus, the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit. Building upon. From there, we just go into different topics, kind of culminating in based on the Ten Commandments, followed by baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, confession, anointing the sick. What are all of these things? So this is our syllabus. This is what we will be following. So yeah, that'll be good. You also see the teacher that's there. That's, it's not set in stone because sometimes us priests are called somewhere, but yeah, for the most part, we will, that, I mean, 90%, 98% chance we'll be there. Okay. That's good. Any questions on the syllabus? And I'll talk about questions in a bit too. Pretty straightforward. Good. I like it. Wonderful. I already kind of jumped ahead the team. So great. Check that off. Three, our sources. Where are we getting all of this that we're going to be talking about? We're getting a twofold source, two sources that are here. We'll send this to you. I don't know, Emily, if you want to take a picture or something. I don't know. We'll send this to you. Yeah, there we go. So scripture and tradition are the two things that we are going to base all of our discussion on. And where do we as Catholics get this stuff? Okay. So the first part is scripture. This is one that all Christians really believe in. When I was coming to the faith, that's the one I actually had to start at. I believed in God actually because of the Big Bang Theory, which fun side fact, did you know the person who posited or came up with the hypothesis of the Big Bang Theory was actually a Catholic priest? I didn't know that. I went to public school, so I didn't know that. They didn't see that. In Catholic school, they're like, talk about it all the time. I used to teach physics too, so I like had a poster of that priest there in my science room. Science and faith are not opposed, but I always believed that there was a God, especially because of the Big Bang Theory just made the most sense from a physics standpoint. My question started with, was there a Jesus? And so it was a historical thing. So we are going to use scripture. And if you have any of those questions or problems with like, what is the Bible? Where does it come from? We're going to answer those, okay? We're going to use not only the original language here and there, because sometimes translations can get confusing, but we'll put it within the second one. My scripture professor in seminary was just all about context, context, context. You've probably experienced someone quoting a line at you at the Bible, and it probably gave you either anxiety or anger or sadness. What we need to do is actually place that line that gave you stress within the context of where it is. We have to read before and after in order to fully understand something. you can make the Bible say that there is no God and you should have no faith, like if you just read little parts of it. So we are going to bring scripture into it, but we're giving full context and full stories. No one-liners, okay? One-liners are very dangerous to truth, as we've kind of discovered just in general as being human, okay? So historical meaning, we'll read before and after a line and compare with the overall gospel. Tradition, this is where people outside of the Catholic faith are like, well, now I have a little bit of anxiety because the thing that you're doing, I can't find word for word in the Bible. So what do I do? This is where we are going to rely on St. Paul, who said in 2 Timothy 2:2, chapter 2, verse 2, quote, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter. Word of mouth is very important here because not everything in history is recorded verbatim by the person, okay? A lot of times, if you take a history class in college, it is completely acceptable to have a text from someone, even though they themselves didn't write it, okay? So the weird thing is, if you think about it, Jesus didn't write a single word of the Bible. He didn't have a pen. He didn't pen a single word in the Bible. It's all everyone's experience about him. Okay, so this first idea of tradition is by word of mouth, is like people saying their experiences. So let me give an example. If I wrote a book in 2022, because I was born in 83, I'll use the term like, you know, wow, that was cool when that happened. Okay, so I write like, I went to the store today and I saw a lion and it was cool. 1,000 years later, they take my text and they're like, okay, we know what a lion is and it was cool. They could say like, well, does that mean that its temperature was low? Or what does that mean? So you would go to another writing, say like my friend, and my friend would say that, you know, on that day, Father Hall saw a lion and he was amazed by it. He thought it was great. And so they place with that person who's not in my writing, they would say, they would give that context and say like, oh, he thought the lion was cool. He thought it was awesome. He thought it was great. Does that example kind of make sense? We are going to use tradition to kind of help us. Here's the best example. Here's the one that really convinced me as I was coming back to the faith. St. Ignatius of Antioch. He was born in 35 AD, died around 107 AD. Okay, he was a Christian martyr. And the person who taught him about Jesus was St. John. And we're talking like at the foot of the cross, when you go and look at the stations of the cross in the church, there's a crucifixion scene where Jesus is on the cross. There's Mary, his mother, there's St. Mary Magdalene, and then there is St. John. Can you imagine a better teacher to teach you about Jesus than the guy who was actually at the foot of the cross watching the whole thing? So St. Ignatius of Antioch had St. John as a teacher. And so I would say that his words that he wrote should be very reliable. And St. Ignatius of Antioch talks about things like the Eucharist, confession. And so that should kind of bolster our faith up. That's the one that really helped me was these ancient, they call them the church fathers, the ones who are right after the last apostle, okay? So does that kind of make sense on why we're going to use tradition as well as scripture a bit? Yeah, so it's just to give us like outside sources to be like, what did they actually mean when they said that? Okay, good. All right, so that's going to be our sources of RCIA in general. Okay, so what does the structure look like? And this is where we'll finally get to an interaction, not just me chatting at you. And then you'll get these, you know, most people know what this is, but like, why did I put this up there? Each session will look like we come in, we do kind of an introduction, kind of an icebreaker a little bit, because the church is a community, you know, it's people. It's not just like come in, do a thing and leave. It's the connection between us is very important. So we'll kind of introduce, we'll kind of chat. You'll have snacks always. If that's a keeper, that's what we'll do always. There'll be videos, there'll be readings or discussion. I'm more of a kinetic learner, so this auditory style doesn't always work the best for a lot of people. I love me a whiteboard, so yeah, you could always ask my students, both in my morality class or my physics class. I had two big old whiteboards. So we are going to use a mix of learning styles because no one has the same learning style. Okay, so we're aware of that and that should help. Well, for like examples of videos, we are going to do, well, yeah. I'll get to that in a bit. Well, I was just going to show an introductory video. I'll do that like kind of after we do our question example. So we'll show like videos. We have a book for those who are actually discerning the faith. The book is called Life in Christ. So if you are a person who's like, okay, I'm going to see, I might convert, might not, whatever it may be. Those books over there are for you. Feel free to take them home. They're very precise, concise. Every chapter is very thin, and they'll kind of go with the flow and supplement all of this too. So there's never like too much homework or anything, but that's a good option. Those who have that book can kind of attest to it's just a good, very short read that can be very helpful. Okay, so let me just get to like questions then. How do we do questions? Since I myself, I love answering questions. How do we do it? So you can do it different ways. You can raise your hand to kind of get my attention or the teacher's attention. Say like, I am in the middle of teaching. Just go ahead and put your hand up. Just be like, yes, we'll pause things because your questions are happening at that time. So they can be live. I call them live questions. Like you're, hey, I want to actually know this. Or they can be anonymous. Anonymous questions can either be done from your smartphone, or in the future I'll have like a jar and then you can write something and put it in. So we'll have low tech and high tech ways. The first time I taught RCIA and I had the jar with all the questions, and then like, well, since you give it all the answers, this is for my nerds out there, we'll call it Jarvis if you love those Marvel movies. But so we'll have a jar for your anonymous questions as well as this. So what I want you to do, this will be our icebreaker for this evening. I want you, if you have a smartphone, to go ahead and scan this. It's going to take you to how our anonymous questions are going to go. I don't know if you want to try that or not, but see if that works. Okay, nice. Boy, she is on that. So this, whoops. So this is what I see. What is your question? I mean, you could put one in now, but let me give you an icebreaker question and then you put it in as so we can get to know each other and just try this out anonymously. I want you to write, what is your favorite smell and why? What is your favorite smell and why? Favorite smell and why? There's always a story, I think. There should be a story. And this is what I see. I will not always have it like displayed for everyone because sometimes it might be helpful for me to kind of read it and kind of contextualize. But sometimes not. Okay. Now, the first question on here was Father Wallmeyer trying to, I had to test it out. This one, I think we can. So the first one is like, why does Father Hall have a beard? That's Father Wallmeyer. I had a beard from age 18 to 30, and then I joined the Diocese of Lincoln, and there was a clean shaven policy thing. This is way off topic, but then that policy was removed, and so I got it back. Okay. A newborn baby. Okay, yeah, baby smell is cute. I've been an uncle since age 7, so I definitely vanilla, and I have no idea why. The smell of rain, yes. But yeah, so this is what I see when it happens. Apples and cinnamon, mostly apples. It just reminds me of apple pie. Hand soap at doctor's office because it reminds me of being pregnant with my babies. Oh. Vacuumed carpet. Peppermint freshly cut cornfield. Yep. Campfire, which it's coming. It's coming soon. Yes. Lemon, clean. Yes. All right. Baked goods, brownies, snickerdoodles, cookies. These are, could also be orders for you guys. Like, what do you want to kind of have as... Oh, this one's good. I like this. Okay. So let's do an example of, I got a real one here. The real one was, is Noah's Ark a true story? Beautiful. So going from a historical context, there's a lot of evidence that points towards yes. There are certain books in the Old Testament, which we'll get during the Old Testament one. Mark, is that yours? Is Old Testament? Who's Old Testament? Father Wallmeyer. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a genius. Yeah. When he takes notes that he wants private, he writes them in Hebrew. So he is extremely smart. And what's the Old Testament written in? Hebrew. So he, if you need like an Old Testament answer question, like him, I'll take this one because it's here and because it's actually, there's a lot of scientific evidence that points towards yes. There is like a historical reference to a disaster of flooding proportions. They did find a big old boat. I forget where it was exactly. Where was it? In the Himalayas, yeah. They found just the skeletal structure, and it was like, this thing is huge. So, which would kind of hold in context, we think that the Garden of Eden might be between the Tigris and Euphrates River. It's like kind of pointing to that, which I think it was five or six years ago where scientists were like, we've traced all of humanity back to one woman. And they're like all excited about it. And Christians are like, yeah. and it was from that region. Anyway, so with Noah, it seems like there's historical evidence for around the time that there was like heavy flooding, a catastrophic flooding event. In the Himalayas, they found the structure of a big, big, big boat that was kind of imprinted in. So coming from a, is it plausible thing? Yeah, very much so. Let's look at the second kind of part. So that's kind of the scientific, like it seems like there is enough evidence to point to really could have happened. So the second part is you have to read the Bible. The Bible isn't a book. It's actually a library. Okay, so anytime you see the book of this or the book of that, you have to know what you're reading. Okay, so anytime you're reading Psalms is like books of poetry, right? So when you're reading Genesis, it's not exactly like a biology book because it says that everything was created in 7 days. You know, if it's revealed that it did happen like that, we're like, okay. But then if it's revealed that everything took millions of years for this and that, Catholics are still like, okay. Because it's not a biology book. It is a history book of what took place. Another piece of evidence for that is in the Psalms and elsewhere, it says to God, one day seems like 1,000 elsewhere. So what is one day to God? Well, it's like 1,000 to someone else, you know, kind of thing. So there's a reference to that. So from a book standpoint, it looks as if it looks like a historical book where Noah is. And there is scientific evidence that points to like, yeah, could have happened. And it could have happened here in this physical place at this time. So there you go. There's an example of an anonymous question that is answered at least by Father Hall. There you go. Mark or Ryan, do you have anything to add to any of that? Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Love it. This is what it is. Like, we're taking the full truth. I think that's why I left the faith in the first place. I thought my questions were too hard for Catholicism to answer. And I was like, oh, if I ask this, I'm just going to prove them wrong. So I'll just leave anyway. But then once I confronted the faith, this is the one faith that actually like answered in a reasonable way. I mean, I religion shopped for a while, and Yeah, there was nothing as satisfactory. It seems like they were afraid of some of the answers, which is hard. But yeah, love it. Well done. So there you go with that is how anonymous questions will go. Okay, so I was going to wait for mass to be over for us to take. Let me just look more at the questions one more time. Is there a specific version of the Bible the Catholic Church uses? Oh yeah, King James, New International Version. We'll talk about, especially when we get to the scripture parts, what the different translations do. What you are going to find is that Bibles that come from after 1550, so about 500 years ago, Martin Luther, when leaving the church, removed 7 books from the Old Testament. So what you are going to find is that the Catholic Bible has 7 more books than any other Christian Bible. Okay, so that is one thing I would check to see if your version has the 7 books or is a quote unquote Catholic version, because it would have 7 more books than. And hopefully you're not offended, but like in summary, sometimes you say like Catholic and Protestant. So hopefully that's okay. So in Protestant Bibles, today Jews miss much without 7 books. So Tobit, Judith, Maccabees 1 and 2, Wisdom, Sirach, and Baruch. So those are the 7 books. My friend, my best friend in high school, he went to Catholic school, and that he got an A because he came up with a way, what do you call those? Not anagram, but like, well, yeah. What is it when you use a phrase? A mnemonic device. There it is. Yeah. Today, Jews miss much without 7 books. So then I can kind of work from there. But yeah, so Catholic version, New American Bible. Oh, what is the, this is bad. I should know this one, but I'll kind of rely on other people. What is the translation that we would hear in mass? Is that New American Bible? So NAB, if you see NAB, that's the translation that you will hear on Sundays, okay? I actually like the King James version sometimes. King James is old English and old with an E. Ye old English. And that's kind of beautiful at times. So King James, you see that, just know that, hey, they don't have the 7 books in the Old Testament, but sometimes that flowery language can be good. Ignatius is pretty good. That one has a different kind of translation. So I would say in this RCIA, we are going to use NAB mostly. But yeah, that's just because what we are going to hear in scripture. Great. All right. So what I'm going to recommend is we just take a short break. I'll go check on how mass is doing. What's going to happen is the CCD parents are actually going to come in and they're going to see, because they're going to see what RCIA looks like as we get into our topic tonight, because we're going to have some of them. We're going to invite them as well. Their kids are in CCD from 6 to 7:30. And so in what ways can we enhance their faith or help them as well with the faith? So they'll be coming in as well to share us. So mark your spot. Go ahead and stand. Restrooms are through those doors. And then snacks are right around the corner. And then we'll get into our topic for tonight, the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. Ready, break. So there can be videos that are helpful for our visual learners. This is just an excerpt from the Catholicism series. Catholicism series I really like because it really shows the international aspect of Catholicism. Honestly, if like you come from Nebraska and you go over to, you know, Vietnam or South America or Africa, and even if you don't speak the language, you know exactly what is going on because it'll be the same readings. So say you have like an app on your phone that's like readings of the day. We are so connected internationally that the same readings on this day of the 7th, are the same ones in South Korea, in Japan, and China. Those are the same exact readings that are being read in the universal church throughout the world. That's how connected we are, okay? So I love this Catholicism series. We'll just watch the intro and then just like his first kind of question about what he's doing. But this is Bishop Barron. And yeah, is it very visually and just an example of what kind of videos could be.